Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net number 425 for the 16th of February, 2026. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. If you are not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system, and you can learn more about it by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause for a few seconds now for a priority traffic or to allow you to disconnect from the conference if you do not want to stick around for our net. I am Alpha Bravo 9, Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois, and my SDF username is JWH. Those are the four pieces of information that we like to hear from check-in. If you don't have an SDF username yet, well, you know, why not? But we'll let you pass for now. Now this net meets every Monday at 0 hour Zulu UTC GMT, whatever you like to call it, on Echolink node 9229, which is known as the Techlink conference. And we would like to thank Michael, November Zero, Victor Zulu Charlie, for letting us use this conference for our net. This is a directed net. That means if you have something to say, give your call and wait for the net control to acknowledge you and give you the floor. Right. So I see we've got four regulars here. And so I think I'm going to cut short the preamble. And let me reset the timer here. Okay, so directed net, topic of the week. Okay, last week, we lost somebody there. Last week, the topic was batteries, because I had an upcoming club meeting where the presentation was going to be about batteries. And I was assuming that it would be mostly about the 12-volt batteries that we use for ham radio. Things like conventional lead acid, sealed lead acid, absorbed glass mat, lithium ion, lithium iron phosphate, you know, all those kinds of things. And there was a little bit of that, but mostly what the presentation was about was old school, like 1.5 volt, AA's and AAA's, as particularly alkaline. Because I think the message of the presentation was you've got to really be careful about alkaline batteries. And so, for example, the presenter, when he was setting out on this, he expected that he had maybe 20 devices that used the alkaline batteries. But he did a thorough inventory, and he found he had over 90 devices in his home that use these alkaline batteries. And so that set him onto a crusade to save his electronic devices, to get those batteries out of there, or, you know, devices that he's not using day to day, lest they leak and damage the device. So I guess that's kind of where I'm going this week here. Have you had a lot of trouble with alkaline batteries, or even the older ones, the the carbon and nickel? What did we have before alkaline? Anyway, those batteries used to leak too, but probably not as badly as the alkaline. So that's kind of what the topic is this week: alkaline and other small voltage, low voltage batteries. And we can probably get into things like NiCads and NIMs and so on. So I'm probably about to time out here. Let me see what... let me reset. Okay, so I'm looking at the dashboard here, and I see KF6GPE, K0BIT, and KC1TCA. So, I guess without further ado, I will start going down the list, starting with KF6GPE.
Good evening, Wayne and Annette. Yeah, they were carbon zinc batteries. I used to have terrible problems with corrosion and alkalines many, many years ago. I lost a couple of calculators and a piece of health monitoring equipment, alkaline battery leakage. So now I am absolutely fanatical that if a device is going in a drawer or a box, the batteries come out. And I've had no problem since then. I use Analoops now for almost all of my, anything would take like a AA or a AAA. They apparently are supposed to leak as much, but I even pull those out when I'm storing something. And so I haven't had any problems. I would say in general, too, that if you're powering anything with AAs or AAAs, use the Analoops. You pay a little bit more for them, but oh my gosh, they hold the charge really well. They last forever. They come charged. I have some of them that are probably on, I don't know, 700 or 800 discharge cycles, and they're still holding strong. The only thing you have to be careful is if you get them on Amazon, there are some counterfeiters that sell them. Typically, the counterfeiters don't even bother packaging them in Analoop-style packaging. They just like repackage what looks like Analoop batteries in brown carbon boxes, the cardboard boxes. So if you if you order Analoops and don't get them in Analoop packaging, send them back to Amazon and be like, no, this is not what I paid for, because I wouldn't trust the counterfeits. Anyway, I think it's a good topic. Yeah, the leakage thing is a real problem, so it's definitely worth keeping an eye on. KF6GPE, back to Matt.
Yeah, I've got some Duracells, you know, unopened package with, you know, claiming, you know, 10-year shelf life, and, you know, 2 or 3 years after purchase, you look at it, and they're leaking inside the unopened package. So I'll never buy another Duracell. I've had a little bit better luck with Energizers, but I think I'm gonna follow your advice there and probably look for some premium batteries that I can be a little bit more, have a little bit more faith in. All right, thanks for your contribution there. Next on my list is K0BIT.
K0BIT, I got disconnected right when you were starting the preamble. What is the topic? Do you mind telling me? Over.
Okay, to make a long story short, last week's topic, we were talking about batteries, and we were mostly talking about like the 12 or 13 volt batteries that we run our radios on. But this week's topic is also on batteries, but it's, you know, the AAs and AAAs and 9 volts and the 9 volt thing is another thing that the presentation at the club meeting was about. 9 volt batteries are dangerous. Lots of stories about people putting a 9-volt battery in their pants pockets and, you know, like the keys in their pocket, you know, shorted out, and they kind of burn themselves. So anyway, but that's another story. So anyway, the topic this week is 9-volt batteries. I mean, 1.5-volt batteries, especially the alkaline batteries that cause so much problems with leakage. So go ahead.
Okay. Kilo Zero Bravo India Tango. Name is Craig. SDF username is Craigify. Currently transmitting from New Orleans, Louisiana, and we're in the middle of Mardi Gras happening right now. So, all right. I don't have anything to add about alkaline batteries, except I was one of the people that used to stick the 9-volt battery on my tongue and go, and it would be like, oh, yeah. That was me. So maybe I've gotten lucky and haven't had them that really have got corroded. I mean, I've had some that got corroded, but they were often drained down all the way, drained out and been sitting in something for many, many years. Other than that, I don't really have much. I like to talk, and I don't really know what to say about alkaline batteries, so I'm going to hand that back to Ned. And I'll ask to the next person who goes after me, have you ever stuck your tongue on a 9-volt battery? Okay, back to Ned.
Okay, thanks, Craig. And I think all of us who are older than, I don't know, at some age, used to do that, because that was the standard thing you did back in like the 60s and the 70s. Next on my list here is KC1TCA.
KC1TCA, this is Rich in East Falmouth, Massachusetts, and my SDF username is RFX. I've definitely stuck many 9-volt batteries on my tongue. Some of them are dead and some of them weren't. And I haven't had too many problems with leakage. I have had some. And they were in devices that were really very old, with some minor exceptions. But I ended up doing what Ray did, and I back Ray's endorsement of Eneloops. My wife and I switched to Eneloops, I don't know how long ago, years ago, and we've been using them ever since, and they've been really great. The only thing that I can really say about them, if you intend to switch over, is it might be a good idea to maybe color code them in some way so that you know when you get them, and also when you try not to mix them among devices, because the different devices will use them at different rates, and eventually you'll end up with some batteries that don't hold a charge too long and others that do, and then things just seem to get a little bit wonky. And so I've had pretty good success with making sure that, you know, if the TV remote, for example, needs to be recharged, is I just don't use the TV remote until the battery's done. So I keep all the batteries in their original, you know, use. But that's it. They're really great. They do last really long. The white ones are good. The black ones are good. I can't say enough about them. They've been great. I've never had a leakage problem with them. So that's basically it. Glad to be here with you all, and KC1TCA out.
Okay, thanks, Richard. And I like that idea about color coding them. You can get vinyl electrical tape in various colors, and that might go a ways there. I 5 or 6 colors, but I think maybe 10 would be better. But and vinyl tape, I don't know if it makes the battery diameter a little bit too big, the battery might not fit into your device. But maybe like a little dab of paint. You can probably find 10 different colors of paint that you could dab a little bit on the battery. And that way you could instantly tell like what year you bought the battery, and team up batteries of the same generation for your devices. Anyway, food for thought there. So, giving everybody a chance there, do we have any rechecks or additional comments? Okay, it looks like this is going to be a short net. 15 minutes, we've had shorter ones, and with fewer check-ins. But so far we've got 4 check-ins and at least 15 minutes. I'm happy with that. So let's make this last call for rechecks or additional comments.
Net control, KF6GPE, recheck, unrelated comments.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think it was you about a month and a half ago, turned me on to ag-wx.com, the agricultural weather insights. I've been watching it, and I finally watched one of the half-hour YouTube broadcasts that the guy put out. Oh, my gosh, was that great. That was so much fun yesterday. So if that was you that gave it to me, thanks so much. It's been a blast. KF6GPE.
Okay, yeah, that was me. I've been following this guy. Well, let me back up. To make a short story long, have you ever heard of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute? That's O-S-H-E-R. Well, this is an organization that organizes, lifelong learning opportunities for people, you know, in their 50s and more. A lot of times it's associated with a university, and here at the University of Illinois, we have it here, and basically, you know, you sign up for this. There's a nominal charge, a subscription, and they offer classes and study groups throughout the year, so that you can, you know, if you're a retiree and you're not working in like a technical or scientific or professional career, instead of going out and spending all your time fishing and golfing, you can attend these gatherings and, you know, exercise your mind and learn about new stuff and, explore expand your mind. Anyway, so I've been involved in the local Osher thing here in at the University of Illinois for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years now. And one of the events that we had was a local meteorologist, Eric Snodgrass. He was, at that time, he was a professor here at the university. And he was a regular guest on the local NPR station during the agricultural news report. Yeah, we have this news report, you know, at least half an hour every day, every weekday. And the Friday report, he would be featured as the meteorologist. You know, each day would have a different meteorologist, and Eric was the one on Fridays. And anyway, I'd been listening to him on the radio, and when he gave a course in the Osher program, and I attended the course. Anyway, I'm a big fan of this guy, and I've been I listened to his half hour weather thing maybe 2 or 3 times a week. I mean, even I'm not so deep into weather to watch him every day. I think I better reset here. I see that DK2DY has joined us. Right, so like I said, short story long. So he's no longer a professor at the university. He's now working in the private sector, and but he does this every weekday, this half hour exploration of weather trends, and he has this website, ag-wx.com, where he makes available a lot of the information that he uses in his, you know, forecasts and analysis, so that you can go in and watch the same sort of information that he processes. So anyway, yeah, I'm a big fan of this guy, so I'm glad that you enjoy him as well. So let me welcome DK2DY. The topic this week is batteries. Last week the topic was batteries, but I think we were talking about the 12 or 13 volt batteries that we use for portable radios. This week the topic was batteries like 1.5 volt batteries, like AA's and AAA's and 9 volts, conventional batteries, and in particular the hazards involved in those kinds of batteries. Like with 9 volt batteries, because the poles of the battery are on the same side of the battery, it's very easy for them to be shorted out, and that can cause various problems. And the alkaline batteries are notorious for leakage and potentially damaging the device that they are inserted in. So that's kind of what the topic this week has been there. So VK2DY, if you're ready to join us, go ahead.
Good morning. This is Robert, VK2DY, in northwestern Sydney, where it's currently about 74 Fahrenheit or so. I think it's about 23 Celsius, so that would be 74 Fahrenheit. And the sun has come out after a weekend of overcast, rainy autumn weather. We're coming back to summer here. They have some nice warm weather for the rest of the week and the next week. So looking good here. Anyway, other than batteries, yeah, you know, one of the things, that is one of the things that I try to remember, is that if I'm going to store a piece of equipment, or if it's going to be, or if I think I'm not going to use it for a while, I try to remember to take the batteries out. It's just too much of a risk to leave them in. I found so much stuff that was difficult to fix after leakage. So, yeah, definitely leakage is a problem, and I do try to, anything that I store, I try to remove batteries from so that we can avoid that. Sometimes you just forget, but I try to remember that. I do use a bunch of rechargeable batteries for various things that I have, radios and other lights and other things that I have that need batteries. I try to use rechargeable ones. I find they don't last as long, but they are a whole lot cheaper in the long run. So I use rechargeable batteries. when I can. Of course, if you get into lithium batteries, you've got a whole other issue with lithium batteries, and you don't want to break the case on the lithium batteries. So there's a lot of every battery has its drawbacks. Every battery has its advantage, and you just sort of have to choose what you need for what. So that's my thought on batteries. VK2TY. Back to next.
Okay, thanks, Robert. Yeah, we had at least two votes for Eneloop nickel metal hydride batteries there. So let's see, it was something on it. Oh yeah, the other thing, besides just pointing out the danger of leakage from batteries, the club presentation that spurred last week's and this week's topic was what do you do when the batteries have leaked and you have damage to your device? And I've dealt with this in the past, and depending upon sort of the geometry of the device, you know, sometimes with battery leaks and you'll get the, I think it's potassium hydroxide or something like that, condensate or whatever, crusting on the contacts in the battery compartment. And many times you can clean that up with maybe vinegar or baking soda. I'm not sure where the baking, a lot of people recommend baking soda, but I mean, if the corrosion is already basic, adding more base, I don't think, well, makes me skeptical that more base will fix it there. But vinegar definitely, you know, applying a mild acid to counteract the alkaline leakage. I have managed to recover my devices after leakage. I've had some, in particular, like little flashlights, the kind of flashlights that are, it's just big enough for a double A cell to fit inside the tube of the battery. But when those things leak, very often they expand the cylindrical shell of the battery, and you just can't get them out. You might try some heroic efforts, like with a drill or something, drill them out. But I've never gone to that length. When I've had one of those single AA cell flashlights leak and not want to come free, it's just garbage. Alas. So let's see. Maybe I've spurred some ideas among you, so let's call for another round of rechecks or additional comments.
K0BIT, question.
Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, somebody was talking about replacing the alkaline batteries with this other thing. I know there are lithium batteries that look like the little AAA and AA cells. We're talking about those batteries, right? And if so, he used the word, he said, you could use these. I wanted to know what that term was, whatever that term was. Back to you.
Okay. You know, different batteries, the chemistry involved in the batteries, basically different voltages. So your carbon zinc batteries, it's usually like 1.5 volts. Likewise, alkaline batteries are also 1.5, maybe slightly more than 1.5. But you start getting into lithium batteries, and especially lithium ion batteries, I think their natural voltage is more like 3.7 volts. So you can't just stick a lithium ion battery in place of an alkaline battery. You know, you can match the shape of the battery, but if the voltage is wrong, you're going to have problems. Now, let's say you have a device like I've got a bunch of these WWV clocks that take two AA batteries. So they're nominally a 3-volt device. Now, if you have a lithium ion battery that is in the AA form factor, you could put one of those in the battery compartment, and then you could put a dummy AA battery, or just, you know, use a wire to short out the other compartment, and you'll have 3.7 volts going into a 3 volt device. But I think you can get away with that very often. On the other hand, I think I've heard that the battery manufacturers have been, I think you can buy a lithium ion battery that has a DC to DC converter built into it so that it takes the 3.7 volts, the native voltage of the lithium ion battery, and reduce it down to 1.5 volts for your device. I can't point you to anybody who makes the... I've just kind of heard that this is a thing that it can be done, and I think maybe it has been done. Maybe someone else here has some experience with that. So let me pass it back to you real quick there, Craig, and see if you have an additional comment, and then I'll open it up to anyone else who knows something about this.
Okay, I don't think I asked my question properly. It was somebody who was, for me, somebody mentioned another kind of battery that was a replacement for those. I didn't get a chance to write that down. I want to know, did I mishear that, or maybe there is some other replacement for those little alkaline batteries that's not lithium. I understand the problem. You're talking about the voltage. Back to you.
Okay, sorry, I might have moved over it real quick there, but what it is nickel metal hydride batteries are similar in their voltage to alkaline batteries. So you can substitute a NIMH battery for an alkaline battery. I think there might be some gotchas, some edge cases you have to be aware of, but usually they're pretty interchangeable. And one of the very popular brands of nickel metal hydride batteries is the Eneloop, E-N-E-L-O-O-P. And I see that Richard has posted something there in the chat about that. So maybe that's what you were asking about. So if you want to replace an alkaline battery, probably the first thing you would try is a nickel metal hydride battery.
That's it. That's the name, Eneloop, or Eneloop. I wrote it down. That's what I was after. Thank you.
Okay, glad I could help. Do we have any more rechecks or additional comments?
KC1TC.
Go ahead, Richard.
I just wanted to quickly add that those you know, with the Eneloops and the other NIMs, as you might expect, you need to get a charger. And there are some package things available where you get the batteries and you get a charger as well. I couldn't comment on those. I haven't bought one of those. I can't remember the brand of the charger that I bought, but it's pretty good. And then we got one at work, and it takes four batteries, and it's got, you know, different conditioning features and things like that. They're pretty handy. I don't think we've ever used any of the features on it. We just put the batteries in and keep charging. But you do need to have, of course, one of those to charge the batteries. There is one package that comes with a USB charger. It's an Eneloop thing, and it comes with this little USB charger that you can charge two of the batteries on, which seems pretty handy. I've never actually used it because we have enough of those batteries that when the power goes out, I've never had to try to pull the charge from a USB device. But anyways, just wanted to add that KC1TCA up.
Okay. Well, thanks for that additional information. But that reminds me. You can buy a charger that is designed to top up the charge on an alkaline battery. And I have a couple of these. I forget exactly the brand name. I could go to the other room and get one if you're really interested in this. It's kind of a niche thing. If you've got batteries, alkaline batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for a year or two, and you're about to put them into a flashlight or a radio or something, and you're concerned about, you know, loss while sitting on the shelf, you can put them into this device, and supposedly they will bring them back up close to their original storage capacity. You could also take a battery that you've used, and it's now no longer providing enough voltage to power your device, and put them into this charger and bring them back up to a usable voltage. I wouldn't expect them, you know, I've used this, I have had a good, you know, reasonably good experience with this on keeping alkaline batteries functioning, but they do not elevate alkaline batteries to the status of NIM batteries in terms of their fully rechargeability. But it's just something that you might consider playing around with if you use a lot of alkaline batteries. So with that, let's see, one more time. Do we have any more rechecks or comments? Okay, we've gone 35 minutes now, so that's pretty good. So I'm happy with that. So at this time, I will say thank everyone for being here and participating, and 73 from Net Control Station AB9 FJ.